True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh boy. I think that's the first thing I can think of when I get to this show this morning. Oh. So how do you want to do this, fellas? You want to just rip this effort off, or you want to have a slow process 4 hours?
Well, I was told last night, Dusty,
cooped up in that
you want to take a picture and let everybody know how I'm sitting this morning.
Is this going to be tough.
I was told last night by a source that the Royals bullpen 789 is much better this year than it was a season ago. So
Bobby
Witt
Jr.
Right?
Bobby Witt Jr. actually reached out to our boss and says he wants to do some shows. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
No, man, let's look. Relatable, I think, is one thing that we reach out to try to be with everybody that listens to this show. And I know there's a lot of you that are going to be very upset today, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I think that's totally fine. That's, that's your sport. That's your fandom. And I am very well prepared to be cooked all day long. I'm just, we're ready for that. We were wrong. And that was a game in which – you were punched directly in the mouth, not once, not twice, three, four times without one defensive strike back. And we'll just rip the Band-Aid off. We won't go through the slow process. That was a game in which the number one guy on that field that was the worst player in the game last night was the worst case scenario. That was the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think he knows that.
Yeah, he does.
I think that's okay to say. That being stated, they got their ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
That's
an ass kicking. Yeah.
That's how that works.
Right.
And there ain't a way to sugarcoat that. Sometimes that happens. Unfortunately, now twice, the Chiefs have had two of their top three performances be in the Super Bowl in front of every eye in the world.
Right.
So that adds some sting to it, right? Like this game.
You have a game like that in October, nobody cares.
Yeah. This game losing this way and the way they lost against Tampa in the Super Bowl makes the Cincinnati loss in the AFC Championship game feel like a slight flick on the wrist, right? Where these are like gut punchers. But hey, look, maybe there's a lot more than just they got whooped and they got taken to the woodshed. Maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe there's, we were a little bit, as radio hosts, maybe for myself, I won't speak for you guys, maybe a little too much on that cocky side. The other thing too is, I'm not here to defend myself, but like you went 15-3, 15-2 in this regular season, right?
Yeah, we should have been cocky walking in, Dusty. There's nothing wrong with that.
But you got punched in the mouth by a better team last night. Yeah. That's the way it was, and the best player in the world was the worst player on the field.
Exactly, and that's a good way to put it, because Patrick Mahomes tweeted last night he feels like he let people down. I will say this: he had a bad game, but by God, you did not let anybody down. And if he's thinking that he let people down, or if there were people in his mentions complaining last night, like, If you were going into Chiefs players mentions and ripping them last night on social media, you got a screw loose and you got some serious problems, right? Patrick Mahomes knows he played a bad game last night. But you know what? So does the offensive line. So does the defense. So does DeAndre Hopkins. So does Travis Kelce. Andy Reid got outcoached by Nick Sirianni. Let's talk about that for a minute, right?
Yeah.
You want to talk about things that went wrong in the game? Nick Sirianni ran circles around Andy Reid and his coaching staff last night in that game. But ultimately, guys, it comes down to the trenches. And the Chiefs finally got exposed on that offensive line last night. in a way that, I mean, I haven't seen them get exposed like that since the Tampa Super Bowl. They picked the worst time to have their worst performance since that Tampa Bay Super Bowl. And it just so happens that the Philadelphia Eagles were ready to go. They went out there. They slapped them in the face. They beat them up along the offensive line. And they didn't blitz one time. And they reported last night on Pro Football Talk, it's the first time or the fourth time since they've been keeping these next-gen stats that a team, regular or postseason, did not blitz the quarterback, and they still came away with six sacks. That was mano a mano last night. Four defensive linemen rushing against five Kansas City Chiefs offensive linemen. You would have thought it was a jailbreak on almost every single play. And it was hard to watch, man. It really was. And you saw it early, you saw it often, and you saw it throughout the entire game. That offensive line did not stand a chance last night. And when your offensive line does not stand a chance, I don't care who's playing quarterback, wide receiver, running back, or anything like that, you're not going to win a football game. And we know when the Kansas City Chiefs get embarrassed and they get beat on national TV like they did in the Super Bowl, they will immediately fix that position. And there's going to be a lot of decisions now that have to be made along that offensive line. Trey Smith is a free agent after this season. Left tackle, I don't know who's playing that position at this point in time. Obviously, Joe Tooney has another year under his contract. Juwan Taylor has another year under his contract. Doesn't mean they won't move on from either one of those guys either. So that offensive line last night was absolutely pathetic. And I don't think anybody would argue that with you. And I don't think I'm out of turn by saying that last night. And they never gave their offense an opportunity to win. And the fact that they did it with just rushing four the entire night and made that offensive line look that bad, which guy on that offensive line honestly deserves to come back based on that performance last night? So they're going to do a lot of soul searching along that offensive line. And I feel like it's almost the same conversation that we had after that Tampa loss in the Super Bowl. Oh my God, that offensive line was so bad. And as soon as that offensive line started to crack and get bad, that's when Patrick Mahomes tried to go out there and put that Superman cape on, and it didn't work. Interception, pick six, bad passes, behind Travis Kelce, low, up, all over the place. I mean, it was just overall, it was just a bad game. Bad game, bad ending to a season. But the word that I want to use throughout the day today, and I think everybody should kind of keep in mind, fellas, perspective on all of this, because we're bummed, and last night bit the big one. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Last night blew chunks. That thing was over by halftime, right? I mean, it was awful last night, okay? But perspective, five Super Bowls, 6 years, three championships. I mean, the fact that we're sitting here and we're upset is a good thing. It's okay. It means we're here. It means we've arrived. It means we're bought in. It means things are moving in the right direction and continue to move that way. But perspective. Perspective is, yeah, we got our ass handed to us last night. Big picture, still been a hell of a ride over these last 7 years, 5 years, 4 years, however you want to look at it. And they're going to retool, and they're going to be back. I'll guarantee it now. They're winning the Super Bowl next year.
Oh, wow, we're already there. I don't know, man. This one's really stung. I mean, like you said, it felt like there was never any moment that of positivity or like, oh, hey, there's a chance here. And we were talking off air. I gave up hope later than you guys did, and you guys were right to do that. But, man, yeah, there was no energy. The bench was lifeless. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, us getting those 2 minutes quickly with Travis Kelce last night and him talking and just saying, like Dusty mentioned, the worst part of it was they never got their ass handed to them all season.
Right.
Every game was close. Every game they won other mm-hmm. than one against Buffalo. And then to have the one biggest stage be the Super Bowl when it happens, man, it's rough. A lot of things are going to change in this team next season.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, we talked about it since this three-peat run started or the Super Bowl run started. There's only seven guys. I mean, turnover happens. A third of your roster turns over every single year in the NFL. So you look at the roster right now, that's roughly 20 players off this team will not be back next season. And you mentioned, you know, Mac, never getting blown out. And I think we saw a little bit of not being able to handle being down early and being punched in the mouth because they've never had to be there before, right? It's that bully in school who bullies everybody and then finally gets hit in the mouth and doesn't know how to respond because they've never been in that situation before. They were stunned last night. They were shocked last night, and they didn't know what to do because they've never been in that situation. And I think you made a good comparison, Dusty, before we started the show, Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson, right? Mike Tyson didn't know how to respond because he was never in that situation before. And you don't want to be in that situation, But you have to learn how to respond in that situation. And it just felt like, to me, panic set in almost immediately with this football team last night.
Yeah, that was a prize fight. I mean, that had all the feels of a like WrestleMania of a in the Super Bowl, man. It was a game, and you got a right hook to the jaw early, and when they threw that dagger to what's his name they got from Washington last year,
Dotson.
When they threw that to the sideline, and then they did the tush push to get in. It was like, okay, you're like, all right, game on, here we go, and then it was three and out. And then the thing that killed him, which is exactly, I mean, like, that was the way that Philly won that game, or the way that they punched the Chiefs in the mouth, that was all designed. Like, that's the thing that's shocking. Like, that's exactly what they, like, when you wake up in the morning and you're like, I want to make my coffee, I want to have my outfit ready, I want to, you know, get everything in order, and I hope I get to work at 5 a.m. And those days when you nail it, when you're walking up the stairs and the clock hits five, it was perfectly the way you designed it. That game was, we're going to pass early. We're going to prove that we don't need Saquon. We're going to hope that they focused all their attention on him. And we're going to open things up and play at our speed. And that's exactly what happened. They came out. Yes, there was the penalty. The Chiefs did not capitalize on that penalty.
Right.
They got the ball back. The Chiefs then commit a penalty, however you feel about it, they commit a penalty, Philadelphia scores. Chiefs get the ball back, they have the ball for a minute, Philadelphia gets the ball back, it's 14, it's 10-0. Philadelphia's in control. Now they can use their number one weapon exactly the way they want, and they didn't even really use him. They used their quarterback more. And they did what they wanted to do. And that's the sign of a team that was just maybe more prepared than the other team was, coaching-wise, player-wise. And in that case, the better team won last night.
It did. And that, unfortunately, and that's where we are. Loss sucks. Loss stinks. It's not a successful season for me. You didn't accomplish your ultimate goal. And I say that because everything for the last year was geared up for that game last night. Everything that they talked about for an entire calendar year was geared up for that game last night, and they didn't perform. They didn't get the job done. And they're wearing it, man. There was a lot of grown men, and I'm not even talking about the players that were in tears last night that I talked to inside that locker room in this organization. They're wearing this one big time. They're wearing it like we're wearing it. And the best part about it is they're going to be back to work today. They're going to figure this thing out, and they're going to be back in the Super Bowl next year because that's what they do. This is going to drive them even more. The worst part about it is now we got to wait till 28 to three-peat, man. I was thinking last night, like, damn, we got to wait like 28 now to three-peat. Here we sit. It's stuck. We'll take your calls, your texts, all that nonsense today that you guys want to weigh in. But
the texts are coming.
I'm sure they are. Sure they are. But, we're all in it together. It happens. It's a loss. And, you know, we don't know how to handle losses anymore, which is a good thing.
It wasn't just the players in green on the field that came very prepared. It was another group of people wearing green the entire weekend. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. All right, we're back here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco, Dusty, and Mac here. We're still live in New Orleans.
We're in New Orleans. I don't know we're alive.
We're headed back today. So what a wonderful trip. What a wonderful time. What a tough walk-in this morning, man, with green confetti everywhere on the ground and Eagles fans literally still going at 5 in the morning. Impressive. I'm sure it would have been, the same with the people in Chiefs jerseys, but no, that was tough, man. You walk in here and you just have to hear everything. You hear all the hits in this radio station when you're walking through the hallways,
right?
And they're playing, Kevin Harlan, and he's, screaming about Jalen Hurts. Well, great game, right? Great game to Hurts.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That guy, you talk about legacy games, like that guy put up a good conversation to have about himself.
Yeah, he really did.
And good for him, because that guy, man, I don't know what it is about his career, but he is he's really good at playing the perfect, just protagonist because he's always like either really, really just given up on or not maybe as respected as he is or should be. And then he flips that narrative. Like he got to the Super Bowl but lost. And he saw his legacy kind of start to take a you know, tarnishing effect. Then all of a sudden, you like put together Jalen Hurts' record in the NFL. And you put together what he's done. That's now two Super Bowls. He's 1-1, right? And also young, also super talented. And this was a game in which, like, everybody's focus. There's three guys in this very small room who said for the entire week, so did everybody nationally, how do you stop Saquon Barkley?
That's right. Right?
Whereas it was the same question as how do you stop Patrick Mahomes? In fact, I was telling you last night, it was so Saquon Barkley that the poster of the Super Bowl on the Superdome or the Caesars Dome was Mahomes' face and Barkley's face. It's always QB, QB, right? Or at least it 90% of the time is. And so, you know, that was a I'm tired of it Jalen Hurts game.
You know, and I said all week, I don't understand why Jalen Hurts gets so disrespected, right, around the NFL. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's taken his team to the Super Bowl two of the last 3 years. And I said on a number of radio shows, and even on with us, I said, I guess I'm like a Jalen Hurts apologist. I said, maybe I like Jalen Hurts more than people in Philadelphia do. But you have to now start putting Jalen Hurts in that category of one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. And I know people will look at numbers and look at stats. Jalen Hurts wins games. Jalen Hurts leads his team. Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. He's more accomplished than Josh Allen. He's more accomplished than Joe Burrow. He's more accomplished than anybody else that we put in that category of who the second greatest quarterback is in the NFL behind Patrick Mahomes. And I think right now you have to start talking about Jalen Hurts being that second best quarterback in the NFL because he beat Patrick Mahomes on the biggest stage in front of everybody where nobody thought the outcome was going to be a game in which Jalen Hurts was going to have an impact. If Philadelphia was going to win, it was always going to be about Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley, Saquon Barkley. They didn't win that game last night because of Saquon Barkley. They won it because of their defense, and they won it because Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes and played a brilliant game. And I think you have to start considering Jalen Hurts as one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. And if you're not, then you're wedded to the stats. I'm wedded to the winning. Jalen Hurts has been a winner. Jalen Hurts leads his team to the promised land. Jalen Hurts put on a show last night, and the Chiefs really weren't able to pressure him. They weren't able to stop him on defense last night. They were so focused on Saquon Barkley, which, for you know, if you would have told me at one point of that game Saquon Barkley had 10 carries for 20 yards, I would have said, oh, great, the Chiefs are leading. At that point in time, they had 10 carries for Saquon Barkley, 20 yards, and the Philadelphia Eagles were up 17-0. And that's how you knew that Philadelphia was going to win that game because what they were expected to do, running the football, they weren't able to do, but yet they were still up 17-0 in that ball game last night. And you got to give Jalen Hurts a lot of credit for that. And I hope he does get his flowers from the national media because
the lead on every show.
Yeah, he should be. But like going into next season, like when we're doing all the quarterback rankings, who are the best in the NFL, people will forget, and they'll have amnesia, and they'll go back to, oh, Josh Allen is the second best, and Joe Burrow is the third best. And, oh, Jalen Hurts needs to be considered, in my opinion, now the second best quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, Bob. All right.
I mean, he won a Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes.
That's fine.
Josh Allen's never been to a Super Bowl. Okay. Joe Burrow's 0-1 in a Super Bowl. Jalen Hurts did what nobody else is able to do. And they beat Patrick Mahomes. Jalen Hurts gets the credit for that, man. That's what it's about. I want a winner. Derek Jeter wasn't the best player on the field. That was a damn winner.
913-586-7965. Feel free to call in all day. Get your words out, you know? You need a vent. This is a safe place. Don, is that right, Nathan? We got Don in Kansas City.
That's
wants
right.
to get on. All right, Don, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, buddy.
Morning.
Hey, I've been thinking about it. In the Super Bowl.
All right, we're out. Call back when you get a better signal, Don.
Sorry, Don. Yeah, I mean...
That call went about as well as the game.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts was fantastic last night. I will say there was no pushback. I mean, how confident... I mean, his confidence was through the roof, after about 5 minutes into the game because you can tell, I mean, that there was no pushback. There was no... life on the Chiefs sideline. It just felt weird.
Yeah.
The energy was off from the get-go. And like you said, like, we've seen the Chiefs down 10-0 what at every Super Bowl, and they've come back 3 of the 5 times. Like,
mm-hmm.
I confident 10-0, but you could see Mahomes jittery in the pocket. Like, it felt like the game plan just evaporated before our very eyes. I didn't even really get to see what the game plan was. They ran 13 plays in the first half. I thought the defense actually played pretty well. If the offense stepped up at all and played just competent, maybe this is a game.
Yeah, I mean,
when
the only first down you have in the first half is on the first play of the game,
yeah,
that's pretty pathetic. Yeah, offensively, pathetic. I mean, offensively could not get anything going. And, you know, there was, you know, getting your playbook guy last night who was complaining about the game plan. Like, they weren't going to be able to run the – they weren't able to do anything last night.
Nope.
4 defensive linemen overwhelmed 5 offensive linemen for the Kansas City Chiefs. And when that happens on every single play, I don't care if you run or you pass or whatever – you're not going to have success. And until the offensive line got going, that offense was going to be stagnant. And the offensive line never got going last night. Ever got going last night. And that's why I say, like, I don't know what they could have done differently from an offensive standpoint that would have been better than what they rolled out there last night. Because they went into a game with a game plan that obviously was going to work. They believed it was going to work. But their offensive line didn't get the job done and didn't give them the opportunity to work. They were in the backfield on every single pass. They were stopping stuff at the line of scrimmage. That offensive line couldn't move those guys. They were so much more athletic, so much more physical, so much better on the defensive line than Kansas City could have been on the offensive line last night. I mean, that was a clinic last night on how to play defensive line in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about this game and – we'll get into kind of the atmosphere of what it was. But, I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, as much – I mean, maybe that's a really good game plan put together by Kellen Moore. Because we've asked, like, for the whole, like, you know, year, like, what's Sirianni's job? Maybe, like, that sort of moment gives Nick Sirianni a pass as well. Because – you look at, like, what his, like, mantra is, and it's, like, kind of like the, I don't know how to describe this, but, like, the little, like, you know, maybe not cocky, but confident, loudmouth that's always good with, like, comebacks, but he's got a good group of friends, and he's popular, and he's got a little bit of money, so nobody really messes with him. I'm sure you've seen that in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you kind of don't like it, but, like, when somebody else comes into your kitchen and you need that guy to kind of get your group fired up, it works.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he doesn't put X's and O's together, and maybe he doesn't, you know, put together a game plan every week, but I'm sure whatever it is, because we talked to Diana Rossini about this, like, she said this. She's like, his players for some reason like him. And this is one of those games where, like, hate him or love him. Like, personally, I'm not a huge fan, but I'm congrats to him. But he's the guy that, judging by what we heard from the fan base,
yep,
judging by what we heard from what Philly football is all week, being introduced to Philadelphia radio, understanding the kind of, like, what their character is, like, Sirianni's perfect for that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was Kellen Moore's game plan in Vic Fangio's defensive scheme, because 0-8, right? Fangio is.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about headlines we get tired of. I guarantee you Sirianni walked by him at some point and was like, did you see that record against Mahomes?
You never won.
And it's just like, thanks, Nick. And it's just one of those things, like, that he can do where, like, now it's like, then it gets ready for the game and you got this little fireball and this bodyguard and this Philly sort of demeanor, not demeanor, but Philly sort of, you know, vibe, character, and it's perfect.
It is.
When it wins.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing we say about Mike McDaniel, right? If he wins and he gets to these games and does this, like, it's okay if he wants to wear joggers to his shins,
mm-hmm,
and have flashy glasses and watches and be a sarcastic ass in the conferences. Then that's fine. You've created that. You can back that. His game was massive for Jalen Hurts. His game was massive for Nick Sirianni.
Huge for Nick Sirianni, because I was talking to somebody before the game about, you know, legacies and all this kind of stuff, and the conversation was, what do you think Sirianni's legacy is if they lose this game in Philadelphia? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not there. I can't speak.
They would
They probably would, but again, they Philadelphia fans, and we'll get into them, deplorable humans. They just really are. Like, I'm over it, man. I really am, like... Last night, F the Chiefs and all this kind of stuff. Like, you won a football game. Why not celebrate you? I'm immediately F the Chiefs, right? They suck. The Philadelphia fans suck. And I hope they're all listening this morning and realize your behavior is about as good as the slime that's on the streets of New Orleans. And, you know, be gracious winners. But Nick Sirianni is a perfect representation of them. If he's on your side, you love him. And if he's not, you want to pop him, right? I mean, he's got that punchable face, which is what Philadelphia fans pretty much have. And, you know, it's to me, the perfect guy for that job. Like, he's a better fit to be the Philadelphia coach than Andy Reid, because Andy Reid isn't that way. Andy Reid doesn't act like a Philadelphian. Andy Reid doesn't act like Nick Sirianni does. And so it works there. It's perfect. Like, sometimes you have to hire the guy that best represents what the organization in the city's about. Like, I think Andy Reid's a great fit in Kansas City.
Right.
Nick Sirianni is a great fit in Philadelphia. He blends in perfectly with the way that they behave in that town.
Yeah, and I mean, the 816 can laugh at that, you know, take that, yeah, they like it because he's winning. But, like, they're winning because his message is working.
Yeah.
Like, if they thought he was a turd, they wouldn't be winning.
Absolutely.
They're bought in by how he runs things.
Right, exactly.
So that's why they're winning. That's
right.
Why it all connects. So
it does. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Dusty. I mean, they're winning, and they're buying in, and the players do love them. Now, it'll be interesting to see how they replace Kellen Moore as he comes here to New Orleans now, you know, to be the new head coach of the New Orleans Saints. It'll be very interesting to see if they're able to carry it forward and kind of replace coaches, and if he's able to do what Andy Reid has been able to do over the years and replace coaches and keep great people on his staff. We'll see how that all plays out. We'll see how much of the brains of the operation are moving to New Orleans after, you know, Nick Sirianni becomes the head coach. He's probably going to have to hire, obviously, a new offensive coordinator. What?
He did it once. They made the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
I know.
Completely separate
staffs. Took that step back a little bit when they had to replace those guys. But now they're replacing another pretty good offensive coordinator. And so you'll have to see how he's able to replace that guy. I'm sure it's going to be a job that a lot of people do want to be, you know, included on and talked about and possibly have, because it's the Super Bowl champions. You want to go be the offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl champs. And so we'll see if Nick Sirianni can find somebody as good as Kellen Moore where he can entrust with that game plan and he can continue to be that face of Philadelphia and be that rah-rah guy and be the guy that just – blends in perfectly with what goes on in that town.
913-586-7965. That is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. It's also the same number you can use to call in. We'll go to Daniel in Shawnee. Daniel, go ahead. You're on the show, man. What do you got?
Hey, guys. I love you guys, first off. Love all your takes. Listen to you guys every morning.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed your guys' coverage of this the whole way through. Anyway, I'm on my way to work, obviously heartbroken like everyone else. Done my fair share of boo-hooing, but I would like to see maybe a little bit of a deviation. I mean, when you're down 24-30, 30-0, I was almost begging Andy to try something. Put DJ Humphries out there.
Yeah.
Maybe try Wanya Morris and move Joe Tooney back on the inside. I just was wondering maybe what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Like, and everybody said maybe they should have made the switch at halftime. The game was over by the time halftime rolled around. I would have done it a lot earlier in that game. You know, once you found yourself down 10-0 maybe, then 17-0, whatever it was, you have to start looking around going, all right, we're not giving our quarterback any time. He just threw a pick six. We got to change some things up. The flip side, though, is that guy DJ Humphries hasn't played in, I mean, when was the last time he had any meaningful football? Well over a year ago, right? I mean, he played like one play and blew a hamstring for us. So it's not like they had the guy who was ready to go and had been playing some good football. But I am with you, man. Like at some point you had to make a decision and make a change on that offensive line because it wasn't working. And if you want to be critical of Andy Reid for not recognizing that earlier and making a switch on the offensive line, I'm with you. That's like a manager leaving the pitcher in too long, and he gets rocked when you didn't see that it wasn't working. You're like, oh, no, he'll figure it out. Eventually, they're not going to figure it out, and you need to be the coach and put your team in position to be successful. And I don't think Andy did that with the offensive line last night.
And it's not like it could have gotten any worse, right?
Right.
And Joe Tooney wasn't playing well either. This was a big Caliendo problem on the interior. But
right.
If you bring DJ in, at least maybe you fix that interior problem, and maybe DJ suffers on the edge, but you at least fix one problem.
Yeah.
Anything could have been better than what was happening last night.
Yeah, you mentioned Caliendo. I had a chance to catch up with him in the locker room after the game last night. I said, what happened?
Yeah, it's obviously we did not execute. Definitely a learning experience for me. It's really hard right now, honestly. And the Eagles are a really good team, and just have to play better. Simple as that. It was not up to my standard or our team's standard at all.
You say a learning experience. What do you mean by a learning experience? Like, what do you learn from the Super Bowl game and this kind of stuff going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it takes everybody. And you have to be at your best in situations like that. And obviously, I was not. And I just need to learn from it and keep getting better.
What did you guys kind of expect from that defensive line today? Because, I mean, quite honestly, they were all over the place, as you know, right? Like, so what was kind of the plan going in?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a challenge going into it, and they just got the better of us.
How much does this now say, all right, it's time for next year?
Yeah, I think if anything, for me, just more motivation. And if I'm going to step in like that, I need to play to the standard that Coach Reed sets, and it wasn't that today.
You look at what you did, though, like the last couple of weeks with all the injuries and things happening on the line. You filled in, played pretty good going up until, you know, obviously today when things happened. But, I mean, like, you did a pretty decent job this year. Really nice filling in for that. Can you take anything away from that or not?
No, absolutely. I just continue to learn from it and get better.
I'll tell you what, man, that's a stand-up dude last night, because a lot of guys in that locker room, and the three of us were in the locker room after the game last night, a lot of guys were not talking last night. A lot of guys respectfully said, I have nothing to say, I don't want to talk. There weren't many people that were willing to stand in front of the microphone last night inside that Chiefs locker room and really own the way that they played last night. And Mike Caliendo, who was one of the worst players on the field last night, stood there and answered questions and held himself accountable for the way he played. And so I'll give a tip of the cap to Mike Caliendo for being a man after the game last night and go, yeah, I'll talk to you. I have no problem talking to you and explaining what went on last night, because I didn't do my job, and I need to own up to that. And so I give that guy a lot of credit, because that locker room, as you guys know from being in there, that was as sad a scene as we've ever seen. And then Harrison Butker couldn't find his clothes, and so I don't even know if he was able to get dressed after the game last night. And that's not a joke. Butker's clothes were missing after the game last night. Like, that was kind of the cherry on top of this whole thing. They cleared that locker room as fast as you could possibly clear a locker room last night. Pretty much everybody was gone, and Harrison standing there in a towel. We start talking. I go, you gonna get ready? He's like, don't know where my clothes are. So I don't know if Harrison Butker ever got his clothes back last night and how he ended up getting out of that locker room. But that cat's clothes, I don't know if they were stolen. I don't want to use that term. But they were clearly missing, and there was a mad scramble last night to find those clothes for Harrison Butker.
Yeah, it was a tough scene. It was pretty brutal in that locker room after the game, which obviously I don't – obviously the guys that have to, are forced to talk to the pillar.
Right.
That's fine. But, I mean, it's almost like, what do you want to ask that guy? You think he really wants to talk about that? Like, that was, that's just tough.
Yeah, but that's part of the deal. That's part of the deal. Be gracious in winning. Be gracious in losing, right? It's one thing to be a guy that's all smiles and talking about winning football games, and it's great. You've got to be that same guy, in my opinion anyway, when you lose. Be gracious in victory. Be gracious in defeat. Yeah. Be a man in winning, be a man in losing. Like, you've got to be that guy that owns up to it. But again, this team is just not used to this. And that's, for me, a big takeaway from this game. I don't ever want to get used to losing or anything like that, but they never had those experiences this season where they were down early big like that and had to try to find a way to fight back. They've never really been put in that situation. And when they were put in that situation, they just didn't know how to respond. And so here we sit after a Super Bowl loss. This team just did not know how to respond to being punched in the mouth, and it showed in a big way last night.
All right. Before we go to break, Dan and KCK, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Dusty. Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, it was frustrating last night. Yeah, I thought when we held Barkley down for 57 yards, you would think the Chiefs would have a great opportunity. But I got to admit, Hurts made the plays last night. And John from Tupelo, Mississippi, called last night. And he said that all the Chiefs got to do is to retool the offensive line, and they'll be back next year. And he always tells me, I was getting excited, trying to slow it down. But, you know, I get excited like that. So, you know, let's just retool it. The offensive line next year. I'm going to Liberty Tax today. I do that custom deal. Well, I waved it at the people down the street. My wave is some cheese and I'm not being a pretty good mood. So, hey, let's go next year. Take care of yourself, Bob and Dusty. Go Royals.
You got Royals. It is tax season. Get on out and see Dan and KCK waving at you out there today, right? Yeah, go Royals, right?
There you go.
I mean, but look, you got to have faith. They will retool the offensive line. Every time they get embarrassed in the playoffs, they go out and they fix exactly what was wrong. The Tampa Super Bowl, the offensive line, the Cincinnati, you know, they got rid of Tyreek Hill. The New England Patriot championship game loss, they retooled the entire defense. I think it's going to be a fun offseason. It starts in a month. I think the first day of the league year is March 12th. And so we've got ourselves another month of talking about free agency and how they're going to retool this offensive line. And mark my words, they will retool this offensive line, and they will fix what was the biggest problem in that Super Bowl.
On the other side, we'll give you an inside look at what we saw from the fans, from the atmosphere, and from the locker room. Coming up here on the other side, we'll give you our inside look live in New Orleans is where we are doing this show. Over the airs on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City Sports. Cruising along here, still alive in New Orleans. I haven't left the city yet, so been a hell of a time, been fun. Thanks for the support of having us down here in the city, letting us cover the game for you. Sorry we couldn't help you bring home the Lombardi Trophy with your team, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's all our fault, guys.
Yeah, it's on us. Yeah, of course.
Son of a guns, man.
Those guys from 10 to 2, man, it'd be a different story.
They sent us down here. We're the curse. We can no longer come back. I can promise you. Well, I can't promise you that. It'll be on the West Coast next year in San Francisco if they go. So that'll be. But no, it was fun. It was, man, it was crazy. We were on the pregame show on the Chiefs Radio Network with Dan Israel and Dana and Kling. And thanks for those guys for having us on before the Super Bowl started. And we were talking to them. They were kind of like, you know, what have you seen in New Orleans? And I could attest this for, you know, half of the nights that I went out and got obliterated. I mean, it was Philly, man. Like, this, they not only did they blow out the Super Bowl score, they blew out the fan base. I mean, and again, this is no shot at, like, the Chiefs fan base. There was just, in my opinion, there was more green than there was red. They were louder. I mean, I know that in the game we had to hear that fly, Eagles fly. I mean,
oh,
it was,
God, yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what. I know you guys are all pissed this morning. Everybody's angry and everything like that. But, man, imagine hearing that song on repeat seven times in one night, and it's just, like, piercing. And when they were doing just, like, the pregame stuff, like, you knew when the Chiefs came out. Because, I mean, the Boo Birds, full pun intended, like, they let their presence known. Like, they were like, hey, we are here. And we don't like you, and we don't like anybody. And they carry that. And I will give them their respect that they carry. They are a very, very proud fan base. and they showed up, man. And that game was roaring. I mean, like, it felt like, I'm serious, like, it felt like the club. I've never been to like a main card UFC event where it's like, back in the day when it was like Alvarez and McGregor or whoever it was, where the whole crowd's like chanting and doing all that sort of stuff. But man, it was like a prize fight.
Yeah.
It was like big. Like when they came out, they were full chant. Like Bradley Cooper got them to a level that I didn't think they were gonna get to, but they went above one. So, you know, like, that atmosphere was nuts back then.
It was. I mean, and it's not a shot. We've been 3 years in a row. Eventually, people run out of dough, you know? It's like, you know, people went one time. It was a first-time opportunity, maybe a second time. And then, you know, ticket prices kind of started to plummet and whatnot. Yeah. And so more and more Chiefs fans decided to come in as the week went along. I know some fans that arrived yesterday for the game. Like, they you know, just decided at the last minute, what the hell? Let's go. Let's do this, right? Talked to a couple friends of mine who called me yesterday. Like, we're coming now. I'm like, now? It's Sunday morning. Like, yeah, what the hell? We just decided to do it with the way the ticket prices, you know, were plummeting, and plummeting in a sense of Super Bowl price. It was still thousands of dollars to get into the building last night. But Philadelphia took over, and I don't know if they took over Kansas City as well. A friend of mine who works at a restaurant sent me a couple of different restaurant receipts where he was working, and it said "Go Birds" on the bottom, and they didn't tip. And I'm like, oh, that's wow. Pathetic. And then I'm in the bathroom today taking an Eagle, and I was listening to our sister station, WWL, and they were on there complaining that Philadelphia fans were not tipping in New Orleans either. So you got your victory, but you're not tipping people? Like, that's a scumbag move. I got to be honest with you. It resonates with what Philadelphia is all about. And that's what these fans are known for just being self-absorbed, all about themselves, and just rude, crude, and socially unacceptable. But they came, man. They were ready for this last night. Philadelphia was fired up. Their coach was fired up. Their fans were fired up. I heard this morning, again, when I was taking an Eagle in the bathroom, that there is fires in Philadelphia this morning. They're burning streets and cars and all this kind of stuff. And they go, just don't do this in New Orleans, please. Go do it in your own city. So I guess the city of Philadelphia is an absolute disaster right now. But they got here before we did, guys, and we arrived Sunday afternoon. These fans were here when we arrived.
A week ago.
8 days ago, Dust,
not
man.
Like yesterday.
No, we got here Sunday a week ago. And they were here. They were ready to go. They were on top of things, and they never stopped. And this fan base here in New Orleans, and I'm sure back there in Philadelphia as well, they were fired up for this game, and they were just insane all week long, and they got to see their team have a win last night, and it sucks.
913-586-7965. We can go to Mike in Overland Park. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Dusty. How you guys doing today?
We're good, man. How are you?
Hey, not too shabby. I just want to ask you guys a question. Do we put the blame on Matt Nagy for not moving the pocket, or is that Andy Reid's fault?
Do you think Matt Nagy really has that much of a say as the offensive coordinator over Andy Reid? It's all Andy Reid. We credit Andy Reid when things go well. We blame Andy Reid when things go poor. That's just part of the deal. Andy Reid was outcoached by Nick Sirianni last night. He was outcoached by Vic Fangio last night on the defensive side. Andy Reid needs to make that call and say, this is what we're going to do. We've talked about him being an offensive genius. We've talked about, and he is. Look, Andy's unbelievable. He lost a game last night. It happens, right? You get beat sometimes. But this is on Andy Reid. Anything that happens on that football field runs through Andy Reid. Every decision in the organization runs through Andy Reid. And so he's got to be the guy that says, hey, we got to change things up. We've got to move some things around. Now, there has to be a collective, you know, corroboration, and maybe Andy Heck, the offensive line coach, could have said something to Andy Reid, and hey, maybe we need to get DJ Humphries out there, change some things up. But ultimately, it starts and begins with the head football coach, and Andy has to wear this one.
913-586. Thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate that. Have a good rest of your day.
What's it like in Kansas City today? Yeah, by the way, are people going to work? Are people up today, or are we just canceling the week?
913-586-7965. We'll have Derek Johnson, as always, on Monday. Coming up in a little bit, about 7:25, we'll have Josh Briscoe at 9 o'clock as well. But, man, this was, you know, a fun time. I mean, I know it's a real kick in the, What was the commercial last night?
The kick and the Jimmy Johnson. How great a commercial was that in the stadium, right?
That was cool.
Did they show that on TV last night? Did they show the flag football commercial where the flag football player leaps over backwards and he says, "We're going to forget history," and then they throw the football and they hit him in the Jimmy Johnson?
Right, the Jimmy Johnson. That was the ticket flag football in D1 schools for women. And that phrase, that's great.
That was fantastic. I mean, I'm surprised. That was like an NFL-sanctioned commercial, too. He hit him right in the Jimmy Johnson.
Right in the old Jimmy Young.
And then you got moved out of the way for Jimmy Johnson last night, that's Mac, right. Didn't you? Yeah. Like we're walking down the aisle. Like,
shoved over.
I mean, kick rocks, man. Like, seriously, kick rocks.
The whole Fox crew.
Get out of the way,
never
kid.
Walked around people.
Yeah.
The hell am I going to do to Rob Gronkowski?
Yeah, like it's Gronk, Strahan, Glazer, everybody. The entire Fox pregame show is
not
walking.
Making eye contact, acting like we don't exist.
Right, and they're like, you got to move out of the way. It's a huge concourse. Get they can avoid us as well. It's called human interaction. I'm not moving out of the way because Michael Strahan and Jay Glazer are walking towards me. You can move out of the way as well. Like,
ridiculous.
This security guy like just yelled at Mac, move out of the way. Move out of the way! Jimmy Johnson's coming through!
It's fantastic. It's great.
Jimmy can move out of the way, too. Jimmy can move out of the way. Jimmy likes you.
Coming back, we'll get to some things that surprised us and some things that didn't with our trip to Nolens. As we wrap up this trip, we will be back again at 7:25 with Derek Johnson, 9 o'clock, Josh Briscoe. You all in Kansas City continue to move on through your day and just power through. That's all you can do. Listen to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.